God bless you this morning. Everyone's having a wonderful day. It's good to be here. My, it's good to be here. Let's pray. Lord, we're standing before you this morning, Lord, just with our hearts humbled and in great expectation. Lord, you brought us together here again to tell us what's on your heart, Lord. And you want to sit down with us and just have a person-to-person talk, as it were, just that you want to just relate. This is what's on my heart. This is what I want you to know, my child. And you're here with each one, sitting beside each one, Lord, to have this conversation. And Lord, help us to hear your voice, the voice of God. What a comfort it is, Lord, to your believers. What a wonderful thing, Lord. Father, if there's someone in here, Lord, that the voice of God is not that comfort, help them to quit hiding from it. Help them to quit running from it, Lord, and to turn and stand before it just as they are. Just as they are, Lord. We ask you to do this morning. Amen. If you would read in your Bible, we're going to read from Genesis, the third chapter again. Again, we're talking about what Adam lost and what is restored to us. All that Adam lost is restored to us in this day. Genesis 3 and 6, "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." We talked about how that was, they're separated by their sin, separated from God, broke the fellowship, and then to try to get that fellowship restored, they made their own man-made religion to try to restore the fellowship by covering up their sin instead of exposing it, letting God take it from them and cover it with the blood. Verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." You may be seated. So after they were separated from fellowship, the eyes were open, they knew they were naked. They made themselves a religion to try to cover it up, to try to restore the fellowship with their own man-made ability. And it said they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Brother Branham talked about how in the cool of the day, they would all get together. Father would come down, and Adam and Eve would get gathered, and they would have church together, and he would come, and they'd talk to him. He'd say, "How is your day today in paradise? Oh, Father, it was so good. We went for a walk. We went to this high mountain. We rode elephants today, and we had just a wonderful time. You know, we changed the way that some of the trees were over here. We moved them and made a much more beautiful place. We had a great view out across this vast scenery over here, and just going on." And that was the best time of the day, because Papa God would come down and talk to his children, and they couldn't wait to hear the voice of God. It was the greatest comfort, because Papa God would come down and talk to Adam and Eve, and they just fellowship with each other. But this time something was different. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He had come down to have fellowship. It's time for church again. And Adam and Eve, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What a horrible place for a human being to find themselves. They heard the voice of the Lord God and they hid themselves. Instead of running towards and saying, "Papa, Papa, it's good to see you. Papa, well, we got to tell you about what we did today. What a wonderful time. Let's go have church. And oh my goodness, I can't wait just to sing the praises of God." Instead of that, they ran away and hid themselves with their aprons on. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "Where art thou? Why are you hiding yourself? Where are you? We always meet here. Where are you at? You didn't even come to church. Sometimes you come to church, but you're still hiding yourself." And he said, Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Can you imagine what that did to God's heart? You're afraid of me? I'm your daddy. You're afraid of me? I'm your parent. Why are you afraid of me? I love you more than anything else in the world could love you. Why are you afraid of me? Why do you run from me? I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I'm not good enough for your love anymore. I haven't earned your love. And he hid himself from the very thing that should have been his greatest comfort. Brother and sister, if that isn't human nature, if that ain't human beings, the voice of God that should be the thing that we love the most, it brings the greatest comfort because it takes the revelation from the voice of God. That's what Jesus builds a church on. You want to go in the rapture? That is your greatest comfort because the voice of God speaking to you, revealing himself, called revelation, is how we get saved. It's how we get justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's how we go in the rapture, is by the voice of God speaking. And yet, so many people are terrified of it. Why? Because we know we are sinners. We know we have fallen short of the glory of God, and we have tried all we can. We put our aprons on, we put our religion on, and we try to live as good as we can. We're trying so hard, and yet we know that we are not measured up. We can't even hardly get to church half the time because we're so discouraged and we're so afraid. We got this fear just running our lives. And when the voice of God does speak, it tears us up because we know that something's wrong and we should be in fellowship and we should love it, but instead of that, we're afraid of it. So we hide ourselves. And after a while, well, this is what happened. We hide ourselves. We hide ourselves behind our religion. Message believers hide behind their religion or their excuse. I just can't live that way. I just know, I don't know if God called me. Maybe I'm not one of his. See, what happened is Satan, when he saw that, what had happened, when they were separated from God, Satan knew what it was to be separated from God. He had been one time the covering cherub. He was right there, God's right-hand man, so to speak. One of the top cherubs, the angels, right there with God. And he had been separated from God. He knew what it was like. And he knew what Adam and Eve were experiencing. And he knows what fear is. And he still knows what fear is. That's why he's going to and fro on the earth like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. Because he's terrified. He sees how close we are to the end. And he's screaming and shouting, and he's influencing us, and he's tearing to our minds, and he's tearing our families apart. He's doing all he can, sowing all the fear he can, because he knows what a curse fear is to the human race. Because as soon as you get separated from God, you know fear. And you know what? You grow up, and when you're a little kid, Brother Jerry, I just talked to him a second ago about the innocence. You see little Mike and little Charlotte, these little kids running around. They're so innocent. They're so fearless. But you know what happens as you grow older? You start realizing, and you look around, and you get an age of accountability, and you realize you're separated from God. And you know what that causes? Fear. Especially if your parents foster that in you. But everyone knows fear. I've heard people say things like, I ain't afraid of anything. I guarantee you, you get in the wrong situation and you will be a cowering little shivering mass of terror, begging to get out of that situation. Every human being is afraid of something. And I'm not just, oh, I'm just afraid of snakes. I'm talking about terrified. You know how we cover it up? We get angry and scream and shout and use our anger to protect our fear. You know what you fear the most? That what you love the most. Because when it gets ripped away from you, that hurts the worst. And that becomes an idol, and God destroys our idols. Either you surrender it yourself, or he rips it from you if you're his. We're not even talking about that today. Let's go back to Adam and Eve. He wasn't looking for them. They heard the voice of God, so they went and hid. Here's the problem with human beings. See, when God called, they came out and they talked to him. They said, "Hey, I'm afraid. I'm naked. I'm a sinner. I stand before you filthy." But what happens a lot of times for us is we keep running. And the word comes and it's preached and it exposes you sitting there at your pew. It exposes you hiding from God. And what do? We run to the next bush. And God comes and he says, "What are you hiding back there for? You see your bad attitude." And we run to another bush and we run to another tree and we keep running and we keep running. And the voice of God keeps saying, "Where are you? You're my child. Why do you keep running from me?" And you know why you keep running? You're afraid you're not his. That's the only reason anybody who had an opportunity to serve God would turn it down, because you're just afraid you might not be his. Or rebellion. Maybe you just have a rebel heart like Cain. And you're just not going to serve him no matter what he offers you. Because Cain spoke right back to the voice of God. So this is too much for me to bear. I can't deal with this. A person who has rebellion in their heart probably doesn't have the seed of God in their heart. It's a horrible place to be. They're going to find a way. They're going to find a justification. They're going to find an excuse. And they're going to walk away. And they're going to keep going until they completely go off. And they never hear the voice of God again. But let me tell you something about the voice of God. If you are one of God's, there's one thing more terrifying than the voice of God. And that's when you can't hear it anymore. You talk about being scared. You talk about shaking up, because you go to church and you sit there with an attitude. "Well, I know God's still dealing with me, so I can go about my life. I know God's still dealing with me, because I go and he keeps talking. He keeps hiring. He keeps calling. Where are you? Where are you?" Well, you wait till that time when the church is gone and you come to church and the voice of God ain't calling for you. You talk about terror. You're afraid to surrender your life now. You're afraid to serve God now. You're afraid to be humiliated now. Wait until that time. You better have some good drugs sitting on your shelf, because you're going to need them to keep any kind of semblance of sanity. And you can't hear the voice of God. You tremble in terror. God, I know you told me I was going to surrender. God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you going to be? What you going to do when the church is gone? It's not a place you want to be, folks. What you gonna do? "But Phil, Brother Phil, I was afraid to trust God." That's evil. That's sin. Because he speaks to you and you flee from it. You don't believe him. Should be our greatest comfort, and yet so many times it's our greatest fear. How do you overcome fear? 1 John 4, "Herein is a love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Fear is torment. Satan torments us with fear. What if you're not? What if this? What if that? What if this happens? What if that happens? And we let that thing, that little seed of fear, get in our mind, and we let it take root, and pretty soon we're living in fear. Although some of the most amazingly ridiculous things. And you know what it is. You know, you get a little thought, and you say, "Well, that's ridiculous." And then you think about it a little more. "That's ridiculous." You think a little bit more. "Maybe it's not so ridiculous." You think about it a little more. "Well, my, that might happen." You think a little bit more about it, and pretty soon you're convinced it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. Why? Because he planted a seed in there and you listen to it. You let it grow. When Satan drops a little fear or doubt or worry or something in your mind, eradicate it immediately. Save yourself the hassle of worrying about it and being afraid. How do you get rid of it? Love. Love heals. Human love has fear and torment. God's love doesn't. God's love heals. It gets rid of the fear. God's love gets rid of the fear, brother and sister. We have so much fear, so much time to put in our minds, put in our hearts because of the things we experienced growing up. Because Satan knows that the younger you are, the sooner he can put fear in you, the better chance he has. It's going to be stronger as you grow. It's going to have more of a scarring effect. If he can get to a little kid when they're 3 months old and get some kind of fear in that mind, it's going to affect that kid so much more growing up than if he tries it when they're 18 or something. He gets the little kids. And one of the greatest fears that he puts in their mind is through religion. Because they have to earn mommy and daddy's love. And that is why so many kids will not serve God, because they couldn't earn mommy and daddy's. How in the world are they going to earn God's love? They're terrified because they know they're a failure, because they never can measure up to mom and dad. How in the world are you going to measure up to God? So what's the point? Satan offers me a lot easier walk than that, and he doesn't hate me. I can measure up to Satan. All it takes is that look. You disappointed me again. You always are doing that. You can't ever get it right. And they're holding over them. Raise your kids in fear and then tell them to trust God. Good luck! Well, why ain't you serving God? You know he loves you. You know better than that. What would God think about what you do? I liked what Brother David said, because he's 50 years old. He should be hearing that by now. But try and play that burden on a 4 or 5 or 10-year-old kid. You're instilling a fear. Brother Jerry and I are talking about the song David was singing. When I was a kid hearing that song, I'd have been terrified. What you gonna do when the church is gone, Phil? Because you know that you don't live good enough, and you all kinds of mistakes. You're always making mistakes, and you can't satisfy mom and dad because you're always doing things wrong, and they're always disappointed in you. Oh, I'm supposed to believe that God's not gonna be disappointed in me then, huh? God's not gonna cut his eyes or give me that look like, you better shut up, boy. You raise a kid like that and expect that's not the attitude they had towards God. They're 40 years old and they're still struggling with it. Wow. Let me read you a scripture. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that I may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. How many times did you parents preach that to your kids? Honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. The Bible says so. Jesus is going to be, he's going to be upset. He ain't going to be pleased. You better honor what I say. Why don't you read the next verse to him? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now kids grow up frustrated.
and fearful because we provoke them. We wonder why they don't want to serve God. We wonder why they don't believe there's a relationship with them and God, because we didn't have the relationship with them first. Because we didn't have time for them. We just want to make sure they obey. Or like Brother Neil's parents, didn't care about them anyways. Well, if you don't care what I do, why would God care what I do? What is it? You're tearing up the parents. No, I'm not. I'm exposing Satan affecting our kids. I'm exposing how Satan destroys our kids, how he instills fear in our kids at a very young age. We got a lot of young kids. We got more young kids coming. You parents, you make sure you build that relationship on love. You take time to raise that child. They are never afraid of you because love is not conditional. You love them no matter what they do. You love them no matter what they do. I said this before a long time ago. We teach our kids where I work. We teach our staff that you respect that kid if they spit in your face. We hold our staff at work to a higher standard than some of our parents hold themselves. Well, they hurt my feelings. They don't respect me. Well, my goodness, I didn't know you were so important. Which part are they disrespecting? The Christ in you or your own nature? I promise you they're not disrespecting the Christ, because the Christ in you is not treating him that way. Say, Brother Phil, you just never raised kids. Brother, whoever's thinking that, that's no justification for saying that this ain't right. Is this right or not? Is it the voice of God? Are you afraid of it? Are you hiding behind a bush from it? Why not come out from the bush and say, I'm guilty? Well, my kids are all growing up. What a great time to build a relationship. They can understand completely when you apologize. Well, you can understand completely when you say, you know what, we need to have a better relationship. We're going to live together for eternity. You might as well get used to that. You say, well, I just don't get along with her, so I'm just going to stand on this side of heaven, and they're going to stand on that side of heaven. No, they might stand on that side of heaven, but you're not going to be there because you won't be in heaven. You're not going to take some old grudge or bitterness or attitude like that to heaven. You get to get rid of it now. What freedom? Adam and Eve, if they're running to God and saying, Papa, we're wrong. We sinned. We're sorry. He said, here's some blood. Here's a covering. Now be free. I'm here to give you freedom from that fear. Don't run and protect it. Don't run and hide it. Run to me. I will heal you. I know the scars. Let me heal you. I know why you're afraid. Let me heal you. I know why you struggle. Let me heal you. I know all about that. Let me heal you. Run to me. Don't go hide behind your religion. Don't go hide behind your fear and doubt. Don't go hide from me. Come to me. The voice of God is the most comforting thing in the world, especially when it brings correction. Because all I love, I chasten. I rebuke. Come to me, let me heal you. I used to ride motorcycle when I was in college back in a long, long time ago. And I was riding one time with a buddy of mine, and I'm a terrible motorcycle rider. I'm a terrible driver. Anyways, I wreck it. I keep wrecking. I go around a curve and slide out, and I get all this scrapes on me. So one time, my buddy and I were riding, and I slid out around this curve and fell down, and we got back on. We rode back to his house and had all this, like, hamburger-looking stuff on the side of your shoulders, right? And so his mom gets this little brush, and she holds him there, and I was 19 or 20. He's about the same age, and she held him there, and she took that, and she rubbed in that. Oh, it hurt. So she said, come on, Phil. I said, no. You ain't doing that to me. That hurts too bad. She said, you big sissy. I said, I don't care. That hurts too much. I let the dirt stay in. I was afraid of the pain. God said, I'm not going to heal you with that dirt still in there. I got to get it out of there. It's going to hurt. Because I love you. And I want it to heal up correctly. Not with all your old pain and fear and doubt in there. I'm going to get it all out. When I put that Holy Spirit in you and it's birthed in there, it starts pushing all the junk from the soul. It comes through your spirit realm and it starts pushing it all out. And you find out how warped you really are. You find out how warped your love really is. You find out how what an idol worshiper you really are. He said, look at that idol, look at that idol, look at that idol. Boy, that's a big one. That must be your pride. And it starts pushing out. He said, this hurts. He said, let me get my wire brush. I'm not going to use, I've tried to use a little soft plastic brush, but you're a little bit stubborn. Here's a wire brush. That pride is really in there deep. I got to get way down. Oh, my goodness. Look at that root of bitterness. I'm going to have to get a shovel and a pickaxe and a chainsaw and a little bit of dynamite. But I'm going to get that root out of there. We're going to go all the way down. And boy, is it going to hurt. Because that was put in there. It started. You learned that when you were 5 years old. And now you're 50 or 60 or 90 or however old you are. And it's still in there. And you still react to it. We're just going to go down deep. We're going to get some miners who are going to dig down there. And we're going to blow that thing out. It's going to hurt. Because I love you. Now quit running from me. Quit running from me. I'm here to set you free. Sit still and let me operate. Everybody has fear. And the only way you get rid of it completely is God's love. And brother and sister, that's your and my responsibility, is to manifest that love so people can see that love and say, I see a reality there that I want. I'm willing to trade my fig leaf vapor. I'm willing to trade my religion. I'm willing to surrender my pride. I'm willing to surrender my fear and be vulnerable because I need that peace that I see in that individual. That's your purpose. You're to help the people around you come to a closer relationship with God. You wonder what part of your purpose is? Your purpose is to be in perfect fellowship with God and be that light for your brother and sister so they can see what that looks like. And they can say, I'm terrified. What if it's not for me? What? But I gotta have this. I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty for something that this world can't satisfy. I gotta have something more. And I see that sister with it. I see that brother with it. And I'm coming to be healed. It's unconditional. Brother and sister, if that would just sink into your heart, that God's love is unconditional, you would not feel weak. You would not feel discouraged. You would not feel frustrated every time you make a mistake. That would not strike fear in your heart. You will not think, oh my goodness, I thought I was born again, but now I don't know. If God's love is unconditional and he told you you're born again and he told you you're saved and he told you you're yours, you're his, and you make a mistake, did all that just go away? Or was it still true? Does he still love you as much as he ever did? Or is he like some of our parents were? I just tell you what, I'm just really tired. I'm just really frustrated with you. You know what that says to a kid? I don't love you as much as I did when you were a good boy. When you're a good boy, I love you. When you're a bad boy, I don't. Well, I don't ever say that to my kid. Of course you don't say it. Your actions do. And then you know what happens when you say I love you? You know what that means? Nothing. And you know what it means when God says I love you? Nothing. It's just empty words, because your words prove better. Your words prove different. I mean, your actions prove different than your words. I sure love you, because you got a good grade, because you made your bed. Folks, I had to do this with kids who weren't my own kids. I had to love the kids I worked with who weren't my own. They were someone else's mess. And you can't do it to your own? With your own kids? That you love more than you love yourself? Until you get frustrated or tired or whatever. Well, they keep making the same mistake over and over. Well, now you know how God feels with you. Do you not keep making the same mistakes over and over? I don't even know who I'm preaching to about this kids thing. I don't know who's receiving and who's not. But this is on my heart. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we can only realize that he's here and how he wants to have fellowship with us. His heart is greater for fellowship than ours. And the reason he makes us that way, because we're offspring of his. That's what makes us long for fellowship. We're his kids, so we long for fellowship with him. Every child longs for fellowship with their parents. It's just part of human nature. When I worked in residential treatment, we have kids come to our center right down here in Dixon. Let me give you an example. You have a 10-year-old kid come in and he show up with all his stuff in a black trash bag. Boy, there's some symbology. All your goods, all your stuff that's important, we're going to put in a black trash bag. We're going to send you off to some stranger to take care of you. Your stuff is just trash. Kid would show up and you could sit down and he'd talk to him and he'd say, okay, you're going to be here for a while, you know, work the program. Where would you like to go when you leave here? You know what they said? Home. Every one of them said home. You say, yeah, but your mom neglects you. I know it. Well, where would you like to go? Grandma? Aunt? Home. Your daddy abuses you. I know it. Where do you want to go? Home. It's something inside. You long for your parents. It's supposed to be there. Why? Because it shows, so we understand when we long for God, we can see it in the natural. It explains why we long for something that this world can't provide. We're longing for Papa. Satan says, yeah, but you are such a mess. What would you like instead? What can you offer me? You can go out and party. You can live any way you want. You don't have to go listen to someone like Brother Phil spit at you while he's preaching. And you know what your heart says? I want to go home. And sometimes we say, I'll try it. I'll take that at your words. Okay, Satan, Give me what you got. Let me see your best shot. And some people go, they taste it, and they say, I'm staying out here. And God chases after him and says, but son, he said, I'm going to go hide behind this tree. But son, where are you? I'm going to go hide behind that bush. Where are you? And you keep running and you're groaning. But you know what happens if you're one of God's? You're going to come to a cliff. You're going to stand there. Oh, God. He said, if you go one more step, you're lost. You're going over the edge. You're going to cross the line. You have no more place to hide. I'll never speak it. You'll never hear my voice again. How many times have some of us come to that point where he said, this is your last shot? And some people say, I still don't believe you, God. And they'll turn and they'll step over that line. And some people say, okay, but I'm terrified. I'm scared to death. He said, I know who you are. That's why I kept coming. That's why I kept following. That's why I kept calling you. You've ran for years. You've ran and ran and ran because you're scared to just really believe what I tell you. But brother and sister, you put that hand out and he takes a hold of it. Who can pull that hand out of your papa's hand? You are secure then as when after you have your body change. You are totally secure from that moment on. You put your hand in his and no one can separate you from him. You're safe. Oh, it's not going to feel like it. You're going to go through all kinds of battles and everything else. You know what God's doing? He's proven to you that you're not afraid anymore. You say, yeah, but I'm still afraid. Yeah, but you're going to get rid of it. Because remember what Brother Branham said? All that Adam lost, we get. And you know what Adam had? He had a fearless relationship with God. That is your inheritance. You can walk free from fear. In your soul. Because in this old fallen nature, you're still subject to the fear and all the stuff that Satan puts in your mind. You just don't have to act on it. You can put it into God's hand and let the inner man take control of the outer man. You can if you want. If you choose not to, that's your trial. That's your loss. But you can. And the more you grow, the more you can surrender that to God, and the less fear controls you. Because you can walk free from fear with perfect love. In your soul. Paul talked about, he said, I have fear. Paul had fear. Brothers and sisters, we have fears. We have things we're going to fight against. It's part of the battle. Human eye will fear. That's what makes us long for fellowship. That's what makes a mother would die for her baby. What makes a father would give his life for his wife. A husband, a true husband, would give his life for his wife. Why? Because Christ gave his life for the church, his wife. It's a strain in you. It'd make a mother dash through a burning fire, not think about her own self, her hair on fire, her clothes on fire, to grab her baby and run out with it. Why? It's love of a parent. And God is the first and original parent, and there's why that strength comes through, because the woman gave birth to the child. And that's the reason God came down, manifested in the flesh, went to the very flames, the hottest of suffering, that he might bring us into fellowship with him, taking no thought of his own. Not my will, thine be done. How that wonderful fellowship that we have with each other and with God. God intended this fellowship. What separated, what kept man from having the direct talk like Adam did? I've often thought about Adam out in the Garden of Eden, knowing no sin, Eve, his wife, beautiful, staying in the garden. Leo the lion would come down, and here come the tiger, the great beast of the field would come up to this cathedral, kneeling on their knees. Even the beast didn't have any killing about them. There's no death anywhere. The devil is what makes wild animals want to hurt you. Just give me 10 more minutes. I've only been preaching 40 minutes. Give me 10 more minutes to make a point here. If you can produce in your heart the right kind of a love towards the most horrible beast there is in the woods or the desert, that beast won't harm you. That's right. I know it by experience. But you can't pretend it. He knows whether you do or not. Talking about the beast knows whether you do or not. There's something about him. He knows it. But if you're really not afraid, I've never seen anything that could hurt you, no matter a lion, whatever it might be, he will walk right away from you. Talking about the wild animals. Brother and sister, what do you have to afraid? If that can control a wild animal, what can it not control? It'll control that human being who has the same beast nature. He'll walk right away from you. But if you run or act like you're scared or something, you'll get killed. You can't just make it up. You got to really know it in your heart that you're not afraid. That's the trouble with man tonight. That's the trouble with people tonight. You're scared. I've told you many times over this pulpit, that's been the biggest curse in my life. I was raised to be afraid, and I've battled fear my entire life. It's been the biggest curse. Fear. You know what I'm afraid of mostly? Humiliation, failure, it's pride. My pride's gonna be hurt. Let me tell you a story. We were growing up, my brother, he's a year and a half younger than me. He was always very much smaller than me. Very much smaller. His nickname, I didn't call him that. Our family didn't, but a lot of people called him Little Paul. Because there was a friend we had who was, he's Paul, his name was Paul. But this was Little Paul. And he was like if I was this big, he was like this on me. Only a year and a half younger, but he was always much smaller, shorter, scrawnier, skinnier person. And when we'd played ball or anything, I always won. Because I was bigger and stronger. We'd wrestle, I'd always win. Sometimes I'd wrestle, just to make it fair, I'd put one hand behind my back, like hook it in my belt, and I'd wrestle with one hand against his two, just to make it more fair, and I'd still beat him. He said, well, that's not fair for him. You know what he learned from it? One of the most precious characteristics you can have, humility. He learned that sometimes he's going to win, sometimes he's going to lose. You know what he learned not to be afraid of? Failure. He ain't more afraid of failure than nothing. You know what? He produced a general in the United States Army. Who got the better end of that deal? Naturally speaking. Guess who still struggles with fear, failure, and pride and all that stuff that he don't struggle with? Because at a young age, he learned humility. I didn't. We started playing some games that didn't take muscle. It took more skill. He is much more coordinated, much better eye and high coordination. We play ping pong, and he beat me. When I beat him, you know what? Okay. Guess what happened when he beat me? You would have thought I was the biggest temper tantrum throwing baby, just whining and pouting. Because I hadn't learned to lose. He did. What a great lesson. Pride. Fear of failure. Fear of being humiliated. You know what happened? My sisters, when Paul would beat me at a game, they say, ha, Paul beat Phil. Because it didn't happen very much. And so they were like, because when I win, I was like any arrogant person. No, I won again. But when Paul went in, everyone was like, ha, Paul beat Phil. Boy, that would just get all over me. Because I didn't get used to it. I'm 54 years old. I'm sort of starting to get used to it. How much better if I'd have learned it at a young age? That old pride is nasty. It drives fear. He said, you're scared. That's the biggest curse there is on the full gospel people or any other people, is because they are afraid. They are afraid. It's the biggest curse. Satan knows it, and so he attacks us, our kids, at the very youngest age he can to get that fear instilled in them as quick as possible. And you know what it's based on? Is love unconditional. Is love unconditional. Or if I disappoint Daddy, does that mean he doesn't love me anymore? And all you have to do is keep a kid in guilt, and they're going to find out love is not unconditional. You see what you do? It's real easy. It's great. If you keep a kid living in guilt with that hammer over his head, then it's easier to control him. It's easier to control a kid. What, you did that again? I should have known. Pretty soon the kid expects himself to do wrong because the parents expect him to do wrong. And you know what you do in this life? You know what you're going to do? You are going to live up to your expectations. I promise you. Been proven by all kinds of psychology tests and everything else. You will live up to your own expectations. And you learn those expectations from the people around you, what they expect from you. If you expect your kid to be bad and to do bad, he's going to do it. And after a while, he's going to say, well, parents expect it anyways. I might as well go ahead because they're so frustrated. Because Papa provoked them. Mama provoked them. So might as well just go and live for the devil. They expect me to anyways. Expectations. You never live higher than your expectations. Biggest curse there is on the full gospel people or any other people is because they are afraid. God has made the provision, but you're afraid to take his word for it. Amen, Brother Phil. What if he don't heal me? What if I pray for deliverance, he doesn't deliver me? What if I give my heart to him and I'm not his and he rejects me? Isn't that that's one of the biggest reasons that the fears that people have, is especially young people, what if I'm not God's? What if I'm not his? And Satan just keeps, what if you're not his? Because then no matter what you want to do, you can't be his. If you're not his, you're not predestinated, you can't be. You're not his. So you don't know if you are or not. It's one of the most, if you look at that as an argument, it has as much sense as banging your head against the wall. It is the dumbest argument, and yet it holds people under so much power. Because what if I'm deceived? What if this is? What if I'm not his? What if I try real hard, and at the end I go to hell? Well, folks, you're going to go to hell anyways. Why not just believe that you're not? Why not just believe what he says when he calls you? You know he's knocking on your heart. Why not just accept it and say, okay. If he turns me down at the end and I'm all disappointed, you serve God, you believed in him the best you can. You can stand there and say, God, I served you with all my heart. The best I, and then who? I believed what you told me. And you know what the really great thing about that is? That's all he's looking for. And if you believe what he says, you're going to be saved. That's easy, isn't it? It's that simple. All you have to do is hear the voice of God. Instead of running away from it, run towards it. It's impossible for you to die and be lost if you believe the voice of God. If you accept the voice of God. Because that's all he's looking for. Because you're afraid. God has made the provision, but you're afraid to take his word for it. If you wasn't afraid tonight, why, you would take your healing by faith and know that God promised it, and the thing would just plumb go away from you. Fear is what keeps it. You're afraid it won't happen. Afraid, scared, and I've noticed it. And that's the reason I'm such a believer in healing. I know that if you can get away from that scare and get love in its place, something's going to happen. If you will put love in the place of the fear, something's going to happen. But we're afraid it won't go away. We're afraid it won't work out the way we want it to. We're afraid maybe it's not for me. We're afraid of this and we're afraid of that. If you get that fear out of there and put love in its place and say, God, I love you. And not just something you're just putting on, not just something in your mind, but it's got to be love from your soul. And get that fellowship with God. And you're working with God, and there's no more worry. You know God's going to take care of it. Boy, Brother Phil, preach to yourself. I am. This is getting all over me. Just love God with all your heart and watch him take care of it. But it's fear that keeps it here. Look, this is not Phil. This is what your prophet said. This ain't my idea. There's only two faculties that govern human. One of faith, which brings results, and the other is fear. You're either controlled by faith or fear. All the other attitudes, everything else that comes out of, everything you do is either coming out of faith or it's coming out of fear. And so whatever you're doing, if it's not a faith, it's a fear. That just cuts it right down to the quick. You say, well, Brother Phil, I'm just a stubborn person. That comes out of fear. Well, I just have a temper. That comes out of fear. Well, I just gossip a lot. That comes out of fear. I worry a lot. That comes out of fear. None of that could come out of faith. He said there's only two faculties that govern a human. Faith, which brings result, or fear, which has no value in it at all. Do you hear that? No value in it at all. So when you teach your kid to be afraid of you so that they will behave, there is no value in that at all. It's a curse to them. Faith is of God. Fear is of the devil. Fear makes you weary. Fear makes you wonder. If I was going to die in the morning, what good would it be to get all stewed up about it? What if I was going to be electrocuted in the morning and my life had to end tomorrow? What good would it do to worry about it? Well, you say, what good would it do to have faith? Faith can sign my pardon. Sure, there's value in faith. Don't be worried. Don't be weary. Don't be scared. Don't be upset. Just have faith and believe. My, do you want what Adam lost? This will preach us back to what Adam lost, a fearless relationship with God. But if you want to justify your fear and justify your attitude and justify whatever you're doing, then go ahead, but know that you're trampling over the word to do it. You say, well, I can't just get rid of my fear, but you can have the right attitude towards it and recognize that it's a curse and you don't have to justify yourself keeping a hold of it. You need to repent. We run to God, gotta have this fear, take this fear away. Well, repent for having it. Let me put it this way. Repent for letting it control you. Cain went to God and said, God, I've done the best I can. God said, that ain't good enough. God, I'm sorry that I'm afraid. I'm sorry I fear you. After all you've done for me, and yet I still don't trust you the way I should. God, I'm sorry. Restore that love. Restore that trust. Restore that faith to me. You can't do it on your own. He has to do it, but that's why he's preaching this morning. He says, I want you to be fearless. My love is unconditional. I will always love you with all my heart. Don't worry. Don't be scared. Don't be upset. Just have faith and believe. And the only way you can have faith, you have to have love first. For love produces faith. Perfect love casts out all fear. It starts with love. It starts with you and that relationship with God. And when you have idols in the way, You can't have that perfect love. That's why he's preaching, get rid of all those idols. Get rid of everything that you love more than you love God. Get rid of everything you get upset about instead of trusting God. Boy, it's good and quiet in here. It's all right. I wish you could stand up sometime and see the expressions on your faces. I can see the battles going on in your minds. You're sitting there, some of you thinking, I want to believe that. I really wish I could. Man, that sounds good. But. Where's the but? But what? There's your battle. But what? But you're a human being. We're all human beings. And we don't just get this overnight. God's not just going to hand this to you. Okay, here's your fearless little soul. No, you're going to struggle because all the junk that's been put into your mind by parents, by friends, and especially by preachers. Some of us folks have sat under wrong preaching for so many years, it has scarred us so you don't have, your soul don't even have to look like a soul. Your mind doesn't look like a human mind anymore. He said, I wish I had time to tell you the experience I had with wildlife. I've seen it comforted by faith, by love. And he, just to save time, I'm just going to... It's when he went to, he was walking across that field where that bull was. That bull had just killed a black man 3 months before that. And he had forgot he was in this field. He walked across it. He said, not 30 yards from me, the big fellow raised up, threw his horns down, let out a big bellow. And there he was, horns about like this, and here he come. He said, at first it scared me. Brother Branham was afraid of that bull coming towards him. You know why? Because Brother Branham was just as human as you and me. So I want you to look at something. He said, at first it scared me. I looked for a tree and there wasn't any tree. I knew he could outrun me to the fence. So I thought, well, this is it. He thought that bull was going to kill him because he couldn't get away. He was just afraid of it. So then something happened. Now listen to what happened. He said, oh God, if that would only stay there instead of going away. Something happened. I wish God would let it happen to everybody here tonight just long enough to get healed. Ain't that amazing? Something happened that I wasn't scared of the bull. I felt sorry because I disturbed him. I was in his field. He was laying out there not bothering me. I come along and woke him up, and I felt sorry for him. Now, if you want to notice what Brother Branham did not say, he did not say, so instead of being afraid, I just decided to love him. I just started loving the bull. No, he didn't. But that's what we do. We hear a message like this, we go out and say, I'm just going to love people. Well, that's good. Go out and love them with all your ability, whatever you can, but that's not what he's talking about. He said, something happened, and I wish it was here all the time. He said, I wish it wouldn't go away, but it goes away because we're still in this flesh. One day, brother and sister, we're going to live in a body where it never goes away. Ain't that worth it? Ain't that worth coming out from behind the bush? Ain't that worth running to the voice of God and saying, God, I want that. I'm going to live in a body where it's total fearlessness, where it never goes away. He said, now you can't bluff it. It has to be there. That's the way faith is. You can't bluff it. You got to really have it. The devil will know it. You can't go up and say, I'm going to have faith and believe. The Bible says this, so I'm going to have faith and believe. No, it's got to be something that's in you that manifests itself to you. It's God taking control and you laying down control and just let God have his will. It's got to be in there first. He said, the fellows started towards me, head down, hard as he could go. I wasn't no more afraid of that bull than I'd be of my dear brothers and sisters standing on this platform. He ran within about 5 feet of me and he stopped. That bull was running at him as hard as he could go, and 5 feet away, he stopped. And Brother Brown was not any more afraid of that bull than anything. If he had been afraid, he would have been killed. That would have been the end of Brother Brown here on earth. But the bull stopped. He stopped. He looked at me so depleted. He looked left. He looked right. I said, fellow, I'm sorry I disturbed you. He said, you're God's creature. I'm God's servant. Now the Creator made me, and I'm his servant. I'm on my journey across the hill to pray for one of his six children. If I knew you were laying here, I wouldn't have come by and disturbed you. So now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Creator, go back and lay down. At the judgment bar, you'll see it brought into light. You're going to see this at the judgment bar. He said, that bull looked at me a few minutes, turned around, walked over and laid down. I stood there, tears streaming down my cheeks. I walked within 5 foot of that bull. He never even turned his head and looked at me. Why? Instead of hating him, I loved him. Love will conquer everything. Brother Branham wasn't out there defending himself. He wasn't trying to do anything. He just let something, God took over and loved that bull through him. And he said, I wish I had that all the time. I wish it didn't go away, but it does. And he said, I wish you would come here on the people long enough tonight for everyone to get healed. You want to get healed? That's the way to get healed. Love. Because love brings faith. Faith conquers all. Love conquers all. He said it right here. Instead of hating him, I loved him. Love will conquer anything. That's what conquered my heart when I knew God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. I wouldn't have to perish. Knew that I was born in the world a sinner and was perishing. God loved me that he gave his son for my life to be redeemed. Then I couldn't hate no more. I had to love. And that's what brings these results. You see, it's love. And the opposite of love isn't hatred, it's fear. Fear produces hatred. Fear produces hatred. We're afraid of what that person could do. We're afraid of the influence. We're afraid of what might happen. So we hate that person. We dislike them. We do whatever. We argue. We fight. We shout. We try to control them. Because we're afraid what they do. What if my kids act out and all the people think I'm a bad parent? I got a more important question. What if God thinks you're a bad parent? I gave you that kid to raise and nurture an admonition of the Lord, and you're provoking him to frustration, to anger, to wanting to give up on me and just walk away. Because if I can't satisfy mom and dad, how in the world am I going to satisfy God? Stand. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that you would come again today and speak to us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the anointing to get out of the way, that you could come and just say what was on your heart. And you know how when I was running Friday morning and this was coming to my heart, how I was scared because I was afraid what I was going to have to say. Because I knew it was going to cut, it was going to hurt. Lord, I pray it wasn't in vain. I pray that you would let the word have the effect it's supposed to have. I believe it. This church is a church of believers. We're not a lukewarm message-believing group, but we're people who recognize the voice of God and we run to it. And if we don't run, you come seeking us. We stand. We let you come and find us. We don't go hide again and again. Because we're thirsty. We're longing for home. We're longing for a relationship with you, Lord. It's the only thing can satisfy the thirst in our soul. We long for you. Satisfy our desire, Lord. Restore to us. Lord, restore to us the joy of thy salvation. Restore what Adam lost. It's not because we've earned it, not because we're great people, not because we're such holy people, but it's because of your word. Your word says you will. We don't come up here presenting our holiness and our righteousness and saying, Lord, look how good we're living. Look how much we understand. Look what a good message believer I am. Go ahead and restore all that Adam lost. What a foolish approach. But we stand before you this morning and say, Lord, this is what your promise is to us. That we can live fearless. We can have a relationship with you that Adam had. We can stand fearless in this world. Lord, let your word come to pass in our life. Manifest your word to us. And we believe it. We believe you will. In your name I ask this, Lord Jesus, amen. You know, I was talking about how those kids, they always want to go home. And a lot of these kids, they come to our facility, and for the first time in their life, they were not afraid of being beat. They knew what it was to be clean. They could go to sleep every night in a clean bed. There were not bugs and roaches and stuff crawling around. They lived in a clean place. They had plenty to eat. No one was disrespecting them. No one was beating them. There was a warm place, and it was cool in the summertime, warm in the winter, and they were treated with respect the first time in their life. And they would work the program, and they were done really well. And 6 months or 9 months or a year and a half later, it was time for them to go home. And they couldn't wait to go home. They're finally going to go home. But you know what they started realizing? They're going to go back to that same mess they came out of. And time after time, those parents would come. The night before they were supposed to come pick them up and take them back home, that kid would go off and do something crazy. He'd break something, he'd scream, he'd attack somebody, he'd get in a fight. He'd do anything he could to sabotage him having to go home. We call it, they become institutionalized. We have a term for it. They prefer being an institution than going home, and yet they want to go home more than anything else in their life. How many Christians are sitting in a message church this morning with that same attitude, that same point? They're at that same point in their life. I want to go home more than anything, but I'm afraid of it because they believe God is like their parents. They believe God is going to hurt them. What a place to be when you're 10 years old. How would you like to be 10 years old with that going through your mind? How do you deal with that as a 10-year-old? No wonder they grow up to be neurotic. What if you're 40? Or 50 or 60 years old, and you're in the same place. I want God more than anything, but I'm more afraid of him than anything. You ready? Come up here, Brother Nate. God bless you. I'm going to Memphis right after church today. I'll be back next Sunday. Thursday night church will be canceled. So just have a wonderful week. Call someone and tell them you love them. And don't just say it from your mouth. Say it from your heart. Because they'll be able to tell. All right? God bless you. I love you. I promise you I wouldn't get up here and say these things if I didn't.
I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You sing, I love you, I love you, my Lord. Oh, I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. To worship and